of precious stones. The Bible says that he was walking on gold. These were stones in the Garden of Eden. He was walking on diamonds. The Bible says every stone was there. But he was kicked out because he wanted to become what he was already. So we have people today who are trying to become what they are already. That's why I told you that there are two types of money. There is evil money and then there is holy money. Oh, okay. You're crazy. You're getting it. You can have the Holy Spirit without money. I told God, I will not going to have your Holy Spirit alone. I will have your Holy Spirit and I will also have your holy man. Are you not hearing it? There is evil man out there. Everybody, have you heard this? Everybody's talking about evil money, bloody God, blood diamond. Nobody's talking about holy money, holy God, holy diamond. We don't belong there. We belong in the kingdom. Oh, come on. Hear me. Anointing without money is annoying. Trust me, poverty can mess you up. If no matter how born again you are, if you are poor, poverty can what? Can mess you up. So the Bible, now let's go there. So the Bible speaks of who you are first. Before we talk about the man, let's talk about who you are. So God made you to dominate. Hello? God made you to do what?
Dominate.
Now, eventually, as years were going, people had to do a medium of exchange. In those days, people would exchange. If you have a cow and this one has land, they would exchange. Hello? Eventually, during the Stone Age, people began to discover gold. And they began to exchange gold with certain things. Eventually, they said, wait a minute, we cannot have God walk with God at 10 kgs. No. Let us create a document. So they formed a document. So this document could be traded instead of God. So you would come and say, I have God. You have God? Yes. Oh, okay. Where's the document? So this document was certified by your government that indeed you have God. And your God could be kept by the government. So I would give you land and take the what? The document. So this document was being traded. And eventually, this document is what eventually they turned it into money. In other words, the whole world right now, what is being used as power of dominance is money. I just want you to hear this. It is what?
Money.
It is money. This is why the church must really know about money. You must understand about money. It's so sad to see the people in the world know money more than people in the church. One time when I was praying to God, I said, God, I want to know about the money because I don't want to be dominated and controlled by money. He said, son, people who have understood the money, they have not understood the money as money. They have understood the money as a game. So they have mastered that game. Just like you see chess is how they see money. So there will be moments when during that game, you will seem like you are losing. But you don't give up on chess. You can turn events around and checkmate your opponent. Proper. So people who have understood money, they have understood money as a what? Well, people who don't know money, the moment they see that they're losing, you know what? I'm giving up. But before we even go there, I want you to see the value. So the value came from documents. So this document today, it is known as money. Now what happens is in the reserve bank of every country, there are reserves. These reserves could be gold, oil, or any other natural resource. The moment those reserves are being depleted, your money loses value. Why? That paper called money, it is being leveraged by what is in the reserve. So the moment what's in the reserve is going down, your money also loses what? Value. The more your reserves are getting resources, the more that paper gains value. Now, what backs dollar is gold. Natural resources. What backs pounds is gold. So I want you to get this, because this is where most believers are failing, and they are praying, crying, and no money is coming, because you do not know first who you are and what money is. You cannot pray for something you don't even know. So, the Bible says you cannot serve money and a God at the very same time. So Jesus compared God with what? With money. So there are people who actually worship money, and there are people who worship God. As if it's not enough, we read the scripture. The Bible says money answers all things. The Bible says that. No one is written in the Bible as being an answer until money is mentioned. That money answers all things. I told you that this is why you will not see billionaires coming to say, I've come here for prayer, because they have an answer to every prayer point that they're looking for. Answer all things, money. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why Jesus said you can't save the two. Because most of you, the day you will have money, you will stop praying. Because you have all the answers that you need. Like, oh, why should I even pray? You have $10 million in your house. And everything you want, you have it. If your child is just feeling some signs of flu, you fly your child to Japan for checkup. I'm telling you. But right now, your serious disease, you come here for prayer. Very serious. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 19. It says, but money answers. Read there. But what?
But money answers all things.
But money
answers all things.
A feast is made for laughter, and the wine makes meal. But money answers. Right now, when you have serious pneumonia, major one, please, I need a prayer. But when you have money, just a little flu, I think I need a checkup in Indonesia. You'll be in the next flight, you're gone to take it. Money. It does not question. Money answers. I'm telling you. If you have money now and you say, I need a chicken, man will say, yes, sir. If you go in the plane and you say, I need a business class, man will say, yes, sir. Go there. Money does not question. But if you are poor, if you go there and say, you want business class, they could be like, how? And they'll call police. So the Bible says money answers what? That's why the devil knows that the moment God's people will have money, they will have all the answers they are praying for. And the devil will block money more than anything else from coming to you. Because he knows if she gets money, she will have all the prayer requests she has been praying for. That's why we have people today who are praying every day. No answer, because the devil blocks your money. Because he knows once your money will come, you are gone. So having this level of people saying, they are, as long as, see, I heard people, somebody say, you know, these nowadays pastors, they just preach about prosperity. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Is this prosperity gospel? No. It isn't. It's just the sound doctrine. God made us to control things. I don't preach to be controlled. Come on. Do you want to money control people in the church? No, we control things. Are you here, right? Now, I want you to understand who you are. So money is backed by a document that has got a reserve as a leverage. Do you understand that? So when you understand the leveraging, how money backs up, what backs that paper is something in the reserve, and it's called God. I'm going somewhere right now that I want you to hear. In Haggai 2, verse 7, the Bible says what? Let's go verse 8 first. Let's go verse 8. It says what?
The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts.
Who's saying that?
The Lord of hosts.
Now, when I tell you that God is for God, silver is for God, and somebody has a problem with that, it's that person who has a problem. Listen, God is mine, silver is mine. And these are things that are controlling the economy. Every economy is backed by God, which belongs to God. Now, if God is the spirit, it means even God is a spirit. God is so spiritual. Silver is very spiritual because the one who owns them is spiritual. That's why money is so spiritual. And this is why there is nothing, you cannot have money without a covenant. You got your own bank, your own account. They will say sign here. There must be a covenant. Now I'm saying the truth. You have to sign it somewhere. And the one giving you money also in the bank has to what? To sign. And that's a covenant. What is a covenant? An agreement of two. So money is so spiritual. It only listens to covenants. This is why people in the demonic world, they do rituals to get the money. And this is why Jesus, the Bible says what? He became poor so that through his poverty, we may become what? The Bible says that. So Jesus, the Bible says he had to become poor so that through his poverty, we may become rich. Why? Because money is spiritual. So if you are so physical, like just normal, and you say you want to get money, you want to get it. Because money listens to the spirit. It's either you are a member of it or you are blessed of it by God. There is no one neutral. It's either God is behind it or the devil is behind it. So you must know money is so spiritual. That's why people who do not have money, they are called poor. And poverty is a spirit. That's why I told you that even in poverty, much as money has got geography, there is also poverty has got what also? Geography. Geographical poverty. Have you noticed if you're in town and you're driving out, you'll be seeing that nice buildings are disappearing slowly. You're entering in a geographical. It's like, trust you me. Poverty has got geography. The spirit of poverty has got places. Even in town, you drive another area, nice houses. Just by the corner like this. Like, where is this? Everyone there has a small house. Some even live in shacks. A lot of, be like, what's going on over here? And people don't even open their eyes to see. Poverty has got a geography. If you are going to a home village, you'll be driving, you'll be living in nice buildings, then you'll be living in nice roads, they're disappearing. What's going on? And then before you know it, everything there is poor. Why am I saying this to you? This is what I'm saying to you. That time has come when you as a believer must, first of all, geographically know where money belongs. Where does money belong? The Bible says what? Silver is for God, and God belongs to. Now imagine if a silver belongs to God, God belongs to God, and you belong to God. It means you belong where silver belongs, God belongs. It's like God is your brother or your cousin. Because all of you, you belong to God. But as I'm talking today, there is no any God in your pocket. What I'm preaching to you, it is the gospel which most people will not preach. Because in the Bible, there are three doctrines. Are you understanding? There's a doctrine of the kingdom of heaven. And there's a doctrine of what will happen on earth to God's people. And then there is a doctrine of after rapture. All these talk one thing. God's people to dominate. The Bible says after rapture, it says that Jesus will rule the earth with all the saints. For how many years? 1,000 years. And the Bible says we shall rule with him. So it has always been God's plan for you to rule. But the devil, knowing that money can actually rule you, he makes money disappear from you so that you can bow to it and he can control you. The Bible says when the righteous prosper, the kingdom rejoices. I'm going to talk to somebody here. So tonight, I want to share this message with you. The Bible says silver is mine. God is mine. However, I want you to know where this story is coming from. The story is coming from the prophecy which God was speaking of the last days. There is a prophecy on that scripture which says, in the last days, God will bring gold and silver to his people. But how will God do it? The Bible says God will shake the world and they'll begin to bring gold and silver to God's people. In verse 7, the Bible says what? I will shake what?
I will shake all nations.
Thank you. Stop there. God will do what?
Will shake all nations.
Do you know how God shakes the nations? Now get it. God will shake the nations. When he shakes them, they'll bring wealth to God's people. Now read it. I will shake the nations.
I will shake all nations.
Uh-huh.
And the desire of all nations shall come.
Thank
and
you.
And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts.
Now, message translation. I want you to hear this. You ready for this? Let me read it properly. And I will shake down all the godless nations. They will bring bushels of wealth. And I will fill this temple with his splendor. God of the angel armies says so. God will shake what? Now, let's just go to another translation. I will shake all the nations and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying. Do you know God can start shaking people who are actually supposed to give you contracts and they're not giving you? God can start shaking them so they can bring business to you. God said, I will shake nations. Then they'll bring whatever they have to my people in the temple. Did you hear that? God can shake people to employ you. Wait a minute. Go to that scripture. It says, I will shake the nations. But thank you. But before the nations, what else will God shake? In verse 6, God says what? For this is what the Lord of heaven, Amen, says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens. And I will shake the earth and the oceans and the dry land. Can you imagine God is shaking the land? Shaking the oceans. Shaking the heaven. If the angels there who are supposed to bring you a miracle and they don't bring it, God will shake them to bring it. Hear this. If your miracle is through oil, which is in the oceans, God will shake the oceans. If your miracle is on the land, if you're supposed to have farms, God will shake the land. It says God will shake all these things so that wealth can come to his people in the temple. The Bible says, now go back to the scripture in verse 7. It says, I will shake all nations and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. In King James Version, can you read it? It says, and what?
And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come.
The wealth of all nations shall come.
And I will fill this house with glory.
Now, the word glory there is not the glory of God, which we think the glory of God. No. It is, that word glory there, in Hebrew, it is called kabod. K-A-B-O-D. Kabod means wealth. It means the material glory, which is visible. Are you here? It means the material what? Now, can you imagine when Solomon built the temple, he put in gold. And the glory of God filled the temple. The glory we're talking about here, it is the glory of material things. There are three types of God's glory. There is the kabod glory, which God gives you things, material things. It's called kabod glory. For example, you are driving your Lamborghini, your what? These are physical. When people see you, they respect you. So, oh, he has this. Oh, he has that. If it's God giving you, it is God kabod. The physical manifestation of glory manifesting in material form, kabod. Then we have what is known as doxa. Doxa is the glory of dignity. For example, you are a leader. For example, God has promoted you. Everyone else begins to see your glory. That glory, it is known as doxa. And there's another glory in the Bible which is known as Shekinah. Shekinah, it is the glory which manifests itself with the physical presence of God or angels. So, for example, we are praying here and then this room is filled up with smoke from heaven. That is Shekinah. For example, you have seen an angel. That is Shekinah. All these words in the Bible, in English, they say glory. But if you read in the Hebrew Bible, it does not say glory on everything. It says, and the glory, if you check in New Living Translation, it has spoken the meaning of glory, which is splendor. I will fill this temple with splendor. With a splendor. So the glory which is mentioned there is not the angels and all that. No, it's splendor. So, splendor means the physical seen presence of God. I told God, I said, I don't want just you. When I pray for people, people should be falling by the power. They say, wow, there was glory. No, I said, I want even people when they see my house, they should say glory of God. When I'm driving a car, they should say we are seeing the glory. When I'm preaching, when the power of God is moving, they're also seeing what? Not just seeing, no. You go in church and God is moving, miracles are happening. You go home and you try to sleep. You can't sleep because you're thinking, what will I eat tomorrow? Not the God of Major One. I came here with a message to all of you who are watching me that I believe, I don't know what, but I believe so strong that God wants to do something about you, that his love and his glory must be seen, not just with you in your heart, but even the friends and the people out there, they will begin to see God in you, God with you, through the doxa glory, through the Shekinah glory, and through the kabod glory. Am I talking to somebody here? So when we are praying, I want to show you this. So when we are praying, God says that the glory of this temple shall be greater. In verse 8 of the same chapter, it says the glory of this temple. Okay, I own the silver.
I own the gold, decree of God of the angel. Amen.
In verse 9, It says,
this temple is going to end up far better than it started out.
Uh-huh.
A glorious beginning, but an even more glorious finishing. A place in which I will hand out wholeness and holiness. Decree of God of the angel armies.
Are you understanding this? God is talking about holiness. Where the glory will be. Did you hear that? So in the kingdom of heaven, God attaches prosperity with holiness. Are you understanding? This is why God does not want you just to say, I want a miracle. I want to be rich and then live in sin. God wants his people to be in possession of what belongs to him. God says, the glory of this house shall be greater than of the former. Which former? The one of Solomon. Meaning to say that the churches we are building today, they should look more glorious than the one of Solomon. No, you didn't hear me. If we build a church now, it must look more glorious. If you enter there, everywhere is diamond, gold, and the Bible says, God, if we will not give it, God will shake us until we bring it. We have to build churches across the world. Are you understanding? So the Bible says, go you to the whole world and what? And preach. But how will you preach without money? It says to the whole world. Now imagine you are here in Malawi in some location called Mzuzu. And God says, go to the world and preach. And you have no money. Which world will you go? Where will you go? That's why I told you that the whole God who made the heaven and the earth, if he comes in someone who has no money, he gets stuck in that person. The whole God whom we know gets stuck in a human being in Bulawayo, in Zimbabwe. A man is gifted, but he can't go anywhere because he has got no money. I told you, I was stuck. I had God, I was a prophet, but I was stuck in Mzuzu. I'm telling you, when the money came, what happened? I went and reached out to the whole world. The Bible says, through prosperity, my cities shall go far. Through prosperity. If the Bible says we are the cities built on the hill, which cannot be hidden. And then the Bible says, his cities shall go far through prosperity. Who created the gold? Who made the silver? But have you noticed we lost them? The church lost them? These things are in the hands of the people who are wicked. It is high time that you take your promotion. I didn't hear me. It's high time that your business begins to move. I don't believe it's okay. If you don't believe it's fine, I believe that this is my time. I will make money for the kingdom. I will do business for the kingdom. We are not even going to feel sorry for these wrong people.